Lord, that we are a people that come behind and know good things. Lord, that you establish our going and our coming. And you put us here, Father, for such a time as this. And it's not that we might lose, but that we might gain victory that you've already procured, gotten for us. And you have literally, Father, put it in our hands and you put it in our mouths. And you tell us to speak and call those things and to say those things which be not as though they are, based upon the word of truth. And God, I thank you that we can be that people. We can be a mouthpiece for Almighty God on this earth. We understand that we're not God, but we do understand that we are His children. And Lord, we thank you that we are children of God. You've called us for such a time as this to speak boldly and proclaim the truth of God in a world that seems to just lust after untruth. And God, we thank you that we have the answer. And that answer is Jesus Christ, who just happens to be the truth. And we give you honor, we give you praise in that name which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all the grief that said, amen and amen. I read a book recently that I started, but I haven't read it entirely. It's a small book. I should have sat down and had it done in an hour, but I just didn't. But the title of the book is Never Run at Your Giant with Your Mouth Shut. And it's just a great little book. But says to me that for the most part, we have become a people that sometimes our silence really does determine our answer. And so we have to somehow get out there what we believe. And even coming into the kingdom of God, the Bible says, for with the heart man believes unto the righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you'll ask some people sometimes, are you born again? And they get born again once, and that's the last time they tell anybody about it. But I think you should spend the rest of your life telling people, hey, I'm born again. I may not act like it. I may not be perfect in it, but I'm telling you, the one who lives in me has given me new life. Praise God. And so we're going to, tonight, I'm going to take off a little bit on not totally, but just talking about our words. And when we run at our giants, don't run with your mouth shut. And you can find out, I love the story of David. You know, back when the political correct stuff started, you didn't think it would last very long, and it stayed going for the last 40 years. It's amazing to me. But back then, even in churches, they didn't want to tell the full story of David and Goliath because they thought it was just too gruesome. They didn't want to tell the little kids about David taking Goliath's own sword and cutting his head off and then picking him up by his hair and just holding up. And that's got to be kind of a disconcerting thing, you know, looking at somebody's head in your hand. But that just showed, when you got their head, you beat them. Amen. And when you cut him off, when you cut his head off with his own sword, you've pretty much thoroughly whipped him. And so I think that what we need to do is not that you haven't been, but I think you need to be more aware of the necessity to communicate your faith with your mouth. And not an obnoxious way and not a way, but you just speak about your life, what the Word of God says about it. I have a friend, not close friend, but I've known her for years. She and her husband came to our church when I pastored in Ulysses, Kansas, back in 1977 through halfway through 1981. And her name is Renee. And Renee, her husband passed away several years ago, and then she married another friend of mine. And matter of fact, he and his wife had been at our church, but Terry had. They'd been at our church in Ulysses, and then Dean and Renee had also been in our church. And it turned out that those two couples were very close couples. They were lifetime friends. They ministered together. They went on vacations together. They raised their kids together. And then when their spouses died, Terry and Renee ended up getting married. But Renee was telling a story. She said when her kids were growing up and the enemy would come in like a flood. And the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that God will raise up a standard against him. And that standard all the time is the Word of God. And then that standard's raised up through our mouth, through what we speak and what we believe about the Word of God. But Renee would tell her sons, who are about 8, 9, and 10, somewhere in that age bracket, she said, "Now boys, I want you to know that mommy's getting ready to shout." She didn't want to scare anybody, but mommy's getting ready to yell. And so they would stop, and Renee would just take a deep breath, and I'm going to not be real loud, but what she would say is this, I'm going to live forever. And they'd look at her again and she'd say, I'm going to live forever. Anytime the enemy comes in and tells you that he's going to cut your life short, that's a great time to say, I'm going to live forever. And I remember Brother Copeland or Brother Hagen or Brother Charles Capps, one of those guys said, when the enemy comes in and tells you what you're going to have happen to you and what's going to happen to you, you just got to remind him of his future. His future is not so bright. And the reason it's not so bright is because he's not so bright. Anytime anybody would try to exalt their throne above the Most High God, that's not real bright. Amen. But anyhow, I think we need to get that knowing that we're not just a temporary living vessel here on this earth that we're just here and then our life is over. No, we're here and once we leave this body, the real us, the spirit man that lives on the inside of us, which just happens to be a speaking spirit created in the image of God. So our words do matter. Amen. And the enemy knows that. And a lot of times the body of Christ sometimes can get caught up in his dialogue. And his dialogue telling them that they're less than nothing, they'll never amount to anything, and they never can trust God. And it's amazing to me how sometimes many people will buy into that, but we're not buying into that, are we? We have a purpose. There's a reason we're here. And that reason is God's purpose, and God will fulfill that. And the good work that he starts in us, he'll complete in us. And so I, and at the end of this message, will I promise you it won't take over 2 hours. And it will take less than probably what you think. But I want us to speak into the lives of people who are being attacked. I just don't think that we have to be sick. And that doesn't mean we never have been, haven't been challenged with that. But I think we need to resist it with everything. And it's just like we'd resist a temptation in any other area. The enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And if sickness and disease doesn't come under that banner, as far as I'm concerned, he says, the end, Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life. But he said that right after he said, the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so what the enemy does, if what's happening in your life has come to steal, kill, or destroy, then you can look to Jesus. He said, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, not while you're being stolen from, killed, or destroyed, but so that you can resist that type of thing come in your life and speak it out with your mouth and declare what the Word of God really does have to say. Isaiah 43:31 out of the New Living Translation said, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The word rendered here when it talks about waiting, it means it's with a sense of expectation. They wait on the Lord with a sense of expectation, expecting God to do in our life what he said he would do. And when we go to Yahweh, as they called him in Hebrew early on, we put our trust and our hope in him. God's the one that we trust in. He's the one that we lean our entire being upon in all our life. God's put us here so that we can give him glory. He likes it when we perform on his word. And to perform may not be a good word, but when we activate the word of God in our life, lean upon the word of God, speak the word of God, he likes it when we trust in him in front of other people. I love this scripture, this particular passage of scripture I'm getting ready to read to you out of Mark 11. I kind of weaned my spiritual faith on this particular passage of scripture. And I don't know about you, and I can only speak for me, but before I became a Christian with a little bit of knowledge, and I still am amazed at how much I don't know, but I sure know a lot more than I knew 40 years ago. But when I first got born again, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about the character of God. I didn't know that you could trust him. I didn't know that you one day could be expecting him to just give you a mighty blow and just snap you out of your life, or I didn't know. And because religion had taught us made us very aware of the fact that they believe that God's the one that chastises you with sickness and disease. and that when sickness and disease and tragedy comes your way, then you can just tag it on God and blame it on God. The devil never got credit for anything. And it's almost like in the religious world, the devil became God's battering ram. You know, when you've done something bad and it's gone far enough, God will look over at Lucifer and say, well, hey, go get him. Well, if that's the way God is, I don't know about you, but why would we want to serve him? We need to ask ourselves that question all the time, because people are doing that. People that we love, people that we care about, they think that God really, maybe for some reason, has put something on them that's incurable. And God never, never will ever do that. Never. Amen. God lives in heaven. Where's he going to get sickness and disease? There isn't any there. And when Jesus came down, who was the express image of God, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so every time he ran into somebody that was sick or dead, it seemed like he just kind of answered everybody's question. And you know, it's kind of interesting, but Jesus raised a lot of, most of the people he raised were young people. I don't know if there's anything to that or not. So I just remind the Lord, I said, I'm young in spirit. Just keep me alive as long as you can. But heaven's not a bad place to go. But the thing of it is, when Jesus came, he healed sickness. If it were any way God's will for people to be sick, he wouldn't have violated God's will. Because he was God in the flesh. So that's why he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen what the will of the Father, if you've seen me, you've on earth, acting out the word of God on this earth, you've seen the will of the Father. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor West. Keep it up. Mark 11:22-25. Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you received it, it will be yours. But when you're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. You can't walk in open unforgiveness and expect God's blessing to come your way. If you know you have ought against somebody, it's probably a really good thing for you that you take care of it. Amen? And those moments are between you and God, but I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people just say, I've had people, I've talked to them about forgiveness, and they said, I don't think I can ever forgive them. I said, well, I feel sorry for you. Because for the rest of your life, that particular circumstance is going to control your emotions. Whether they think they will or not, they will. I mean, if you can walk in forgiveness, you're a pretty happy person. Amen? Now, the New Living Translation doesn't say it, but the New King James translation, or the King James, it says the word say three times in that verse 23, Mark 11:23. Back up to that one. Could you go over to New King James for me? Genesis. I might have it on. There you go. For assuredly, now this, again, this is Jesus speaking, but for assuredly I say to you, whoever says, everybody says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he... Now, I always remind people, number one, I didn't write that verse. I just read it. Jesus not only had it written by the Spirit of God, but he spoke it into existence. He said, if you would say to that mountain and not doubt in your heart one bit, that mountain would obey you. Because everything that's created is created by the Word of God. That's why everything's subject to the Word of God. And so when he said that, it's kind of interesting in that particular passage of scripture. I was going to share this a little bit, but that first word says it's more of a command. When you command that mountain to go into the sea, and then it gets on down into the second thing you say, and you just speak it out boldly. It has to do with you speaking it out boldly. I believe what the Word of God says about me. I believe Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. I believe that everything that I set my hand into is blessed because I am a child of the living God. I believe I'm an heir of God. I'm an heir of His salvation. I'm an heir of His kingdom. I belong in His kingdom. I live in His kingdom. I live by His kingdom. And He rules my heart. Sometimes I just got to tell me that. It's not so much I tell everybody else that, but sometimes I just got to remind me who I am. And when you remind yourself of who you remind yourself of who you are in Christ, not in yourself. Because in yourself, the Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags. But in Christ, your righteousness becomes the righteousness of God in Christ. That's an awesome thing. Amen. So anyhow, Jesus is teaching His disciples it's important to say the right thing. And that way, truth always, that's why the Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Because faith is always based upon the truth. You can't, if you're speaking faith, you're speaking the Word. And if you're speaking the Word, you're speaking the truth. Amen? James 5, 15 through 16, and this is kind of what I wanted to kind of kick at a little bit tonight. Because I believe the prayer of faith speaks. I believe it talks. The prayer of faith talks. James 5, verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will drop kick him into hell. That's a pretty loose translation, Pastor West. Well, we know it doesn't say that, but prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, somebody's got to be given the prayer of faith. Somebody's got to be speaking the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is always based upon the Word of God. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much or is dynamic in its working. It's powerful. The prayer of faith is a powerful word. And there are times when you speak life into people's life because it's the Word. It's coming out of you, but it's coming out of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. He is the Word. He breathes the Word. And it continually is breathed out by the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you agree with that, you can say amen. Let's look at Matthew 8, 5 through 13 real quickly. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant's lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Sometimes we just jump by that. Now remember, Jesus is showing us by example. And there are times that Jesus can move in your life and say, I want you to command that thing to stop in that person's life. It's not so that we can be manipulators of people and manipulators of their will. It's that we want to be obedient to God. And if there's a time that we speak into somebody's life, sometimes they just need that help. And that may be the only time they ever got that word. But I'm telling you, when that word comes, it sets them free. Because you know the truth, and the truth will make you free, not just get you confused. I believe Christians are more confused than they ought to be, and I think sometimes the most confusion comes when you make the decision to walk in unbelief. Because you become a person divided. And the Bible says that when you are a divided person in what you believe, don't let that person think, and the Bible calls it a double-minded person. Sometimes if you're not sure that you believe something, it's best not to speak that out. Just kind of bite your tongue a little bit until you can get to the place where you think, I believe that. I believe that's true. But anyhow, the centurion just said simply, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. And then that centurion goes ahead and explains why he can believe that way. He says, I also am a man under authority. Have you ever thought about the fact that because you're a child of God, you're a person, you're a child of authority? You can't come into God's kingdom and not have any authority. You can come into God's kingdom and be blinded to his authority that's in you simply because that's what the enemy has come. The Bible tells us that when a word of God's planted on the inside of us, that the enemy comes immediately to steal away the word. That's why sometimes you can be sitting in church and you can say, Pastor West, that was awesome. And you get outside those doors and all of a sudden you get home and all the circumstances of the world start happening. You go, I don't know what I believe anymore. I know Pastor West said that, but I'm telling you. So you got to really make a cognizant effort to just keep your mind fixed on what the truth says. Amen. So anyhow, I said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed. It's kind of interesting to know, but there's only two places in the Bible where it says Jesus marveled. This is one of them. And he marveled at this man's faith. And the other one is he marveled at the apostles' unbelief. I don't know if you've ever made Jesus marvel at your unbelief, but I hope not. And I'm sure I've tried before. I remember one time believing God for an answer to somebody's predicament because it kept happening over and over again. I felt led to the Lord to spend some time fasting and praying. And I decided I was going to skip lunch every day and I was just going to pray during that lunch hour for an answer to that. And on the end of the fifth day, I started it on Monday, and on the end of the fifth day, I'd gone down in my basement and I kind of just laid there in a bed and I prayed and just sought God about the answer. And on the end of the fifth day fast, I'm laying there and it comes to me. And I remember running up. I was so excited to have an answer. And it had to be the answer from God because I wouldn't have thought. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years. And I heard the Lord say real quietly, and that's why you're not me. But you do have a right to hear from him. There are some people that think that people that are looking to hear from God have mental delusion about being able to do that. I think people that don't want to hear from God have mental delusion, you know. So we all think each other's crazy, so that's debatable. So when Jesus marveled, verse 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east to the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done unto you. We should all just kind of underline moments like that when he says, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done to you. And his servant was healed that same hour. I'm amazed that Jesus would throw in that there are going to be some people that don't end up in the kingdom of heaven. And you know what it's all based upon? It's based upon what you believe. The key to heaven is Jesus Christ and your faith in him. There's no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved. You can't be saved by anything else but a belief in Jesus Christ. And there are people that actually probably will have had miracles happen in their lives, will probably had answers to prayer in their life, but they never really opened themselves up to Jesus Christ. And just because you believed him for a miracle doesn't mean you believe in him. I think sometimes people that get a miracle, they end up letting that miracle kind of determine their walk of faith. And sometimes people that have incredible miracles just walk away from Jesus because they got what they needed and just kept on going. Those miracles can be a calling card and that we can be drawn to Jesus on the right. But I don't know about you, but I'm really thrilled when Jesus answers my prayers. Amen. I love that. And I tell him all the time, Lord, if I were you and you were me, I'd do that quicker than you're doing it. And he still does what he wants because he's Lord. Amen. But you got it by faith. Philippians 1 verses 12 through 14. Is this helping anybody? Five people. That's good. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually, this is Apostle Paul speaking, The things that have happened actually turned out to, for the abundance, for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become more confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Would to God that we would become a people that would be willing to speak the word without fear. Well, Pastor, you're not going to get me to say that, bless God, Jesus Christ is my Passover lamb, and then when COVID comes to my house, it has to pass over in the name of Jesus, because you know it might stop. It has no right to stop. And I'm not saying if anybody's ever gone through a COVID battle, and then, you know, we've watched a few close family relatives, and everybody has, and some people have lost relatives. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying that we have victory over that stuff. We have victory over the curse of the law. And there's nothing more diabolical than that virus that was released by humankind when they knew it was going to kill countless millions of humans. That's just the enemy personified. And I still say that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I still say that Jesus Christ, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And he lives and abides on the inside of us. And I thank God that blood covers me. And I thank God that it passes over me. Whatever it is, sickness, disease, that now everything's COVID. You know, if you go into the hangnail, that looks like COVID to me. But that's because they don't have an answer. I went in for a physical and the doctor told me, he said, have you had your shot yet? And I said, I knew what he meant. And I said, no. He said, you going to get one? I said, no. He said, really? You got any questions? I said, no. So he went ahead with the physical and we got done. He looked at me and says, I'm not a pastor. I'm a doctor. And I'm telling you, you're making a huge mistake. And I wanted to say, well, I'm not a doctor, but I am a pastor. And I'm telling you, you not believing on Jesus is a huge mistake. And I'm not against the shot. I mean, people think when you make a stand like this, if you want to get a shot, get a shot. But whatever you do, do it in faith. Dear God, don't just get a shot and think, well, I sure hope this works. Put your faith on it. And if you've had one, believe that those people that are saying now, maybe some of them are having some ill effects that they shouldn't be having. Just take authority over that. It's not hard for Jesus to take care of that. Amen. Glory to God. So that said, we should be much more bold to speak the word without fear. I told the doctor, I'm not as crass as I sound here. I sound braver here than I do in the waiting room, probably, or in the checkup room. But I said, Doc, I'll give it some thought, but I'm pretty comfortable where I am. And I shut the door, and that's about all the thought I gave to it, until I just now said something about it. Romans 10, verse 9. We're not called to be smart-alecky with people, but we are called to be bold in our faith. Amen. And I know people have had the COVID shot that have gotten COVID even worse. I know people that have gotten COVID, gotten the shot, and gotten COVID again. So that doesn't make me want to say, sign me up. I do know right now, I have enough sense to study. I know which ones probably are the best ones. There's two of them. Pfizer is one of them and Moderna is the other. Those are the two that are not built, and their platform doesn't come out of fetal tissue. That they designed that vaccine, they don't use fetal tissue. And I think I would go with the ones that don't have to kill babies to get their tissue. Just saying. If you got one from the other companies, you didn't know that and your grace is fine, but I'm just saying, they don't tell us a lot of stuff. Romans 10, 9 through 13. if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be what? Saved. Hallelujah. It's good every now and then when you wake up and walk into the, you know, I don't know about you, but when I wake up, my hair doesn't look like it's been combed. It looks like it's just had the pillow just massaged into it. And I walk in, look in the mirror, and I think that's kind of funny in itself. But then I look in the mirror and I say, you're born again. You're saved. You're born of God. I talk to myself sometimes. Nobody's listening except God and me. And the enemy, I like the enemy to hear. But anyhow, it's believing in your heart that you're made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved, as the scripture tells us. Anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Listen to that. Anyone who trusts in the Lord will never be disgraced. Isn't that awesome? Jew and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call upon him. And for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now I want to just share one more thing, and then we're going to speak the prayer of faith in the people's lives. You may know some, but there's some ladies, a couple ladies in the church I know, three ladies at least, that are fighting and battling COVID. And Pastor Tim, he's doing much better, and his oxygen levels staying a lot more consistent. And he's just tired of being cooped up in that place. He's been in ICU for a week. And he shot me a picture early on and said, not my best moment. You know, sometimes people think badly of themselves. Hey, you're breathing. Well, hallelujah. And you're going to continue to breathe. You're going to live and not die. Do you say stuff like that to people that are deathly sick? Well, yeah. That's a lot better than, well, you're dead. And I've said it when they've gone ahead and passed into heaven. I've said it and they've been made to live. Amen. My brother-in-law was one of those. A couple of years ago, he was dying and they didn't know what they could do for him. And I told my sister right after we just lost somebody in the church had died, a young person. And I didn't feel much like believing God. I don't know if you ever felt that way, but I thought in my mind, I'm going, what's the use of? And the Lord said, I want you to say that. And I said, I don't want to say that. He said, but I would like you to say that. And I said, but I don't want to say that. And I argued with him all the way to Garden City. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to say it, but I'm expecting you to show up. And so I got in there and my sister was there and her husband was on a ventilator. And I looked at her and I said, I want to tell you right now. And I didn't tell her I had an argument with God. I didn't want to have her. I said, but I want to tell you right now, he is going to live and not die. That's just the way it is. And I gave her a passage of scripture that she could read every moment that it got a little tight in there. And she took that and she read that thing faithfully. And then when they start coming out of it after 42 days in a coma on a respirator, when they start bringing them off, it's kind of touch and go thing. And they said, well, he might have some sight of my eyes. And I know he's not going to have any of that. And he came out normal, healed, whole, and his heart tender toward God. Not that God did that so he would, but some people believe that kind of stuff. Real quickly, I want to just talk to you about 2 Corinthians 2:7. This is a scripture that we've all read over. If you start reading the Bible, you start out early in Genesis, of course. But the second chapter, verse 7, says, then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Now, different translations, and from the Hebrew especially, different people that are language experts, they also say there's other meanings to that which probably could render a little bit better reading, but one of them that I liked, and well, a couple of them, but one of them was not just a living person, but he became a living soul. But the one I liked the most was the one that said he became a speaking spirit. man became a speaking spirit because what? He's created in the image of God, and God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And so you're, not only was man created to be a speaking spirit, but he is also given dominion over all the earth, and he can, was to really take authority over everything in the earth with the dominion that comes out of the spoken word. And it started early on. He blew breath into man's nostrils, and Adam became a speaking spirit. If you're not speaking, you're failing by default. If you're not speaking the word, you're failing by default of not saying anything. Your quietness is an answer or is a belief system. Amen? What if I say it and it doesn't happen? Well, if you say it and it's based upon the word of God and you know that God's leading you to say it, it's going to come to pass, because Jesus is the one that promised us in Mark 11:23. You might have to go back to Mark 11:23. Lord, you said this. You said if I would say to that mountain, and all the mountain is just an obstacle that's come to distract you, deter you, and to keep you from getting directly to the Lord. That's what it's for. But I like this in Numbers when Caleb and Joshua had been called to lead some men over into the promised land to spy it out to see if they could go in and take it. And they come back from that pretty pumped because they saw some pretty good produce and fruit, and they said, man, this is awesome. But in Numbers 14:28, the Lord is saying to this, tell it, because Israel was given God fits. In Numbers 13-14, it kind of gives you the reasons why the Israelites failed to receive and walk in God's promises. They made some stupid decisions. Well, the Lord said this in 14:28, said, tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do the very things I heard you say. So God is telling us here, good or bad, he will do the very things that he hears you say. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 6:2 that you're snared by the words of your mouth. Your mouth can get you a lot of trouble. My mouth has gotten me a lot of trouble. And every now and then you get to eat a little crow. Amen, if you don't watch it. But Joshua and Caleb won the war of words. And Joshua said this when they came to him, because all the other people that had gone over with them, after hearing Joshua said, well, we've been there, we've looked at it, and we're well able to take it. We're well able to take it. And then the 10 that went over there and saw that the giants were there and this man, there's no way we can do that. Every one of them and all the families that followed them died and did not make it into the promised land. Your words are pretty important. They're vitally important. And if they were important in the Old Testament, they're important in the New Testament. And God frames the world. I'll give you a scripture reference. Numbers 13:30-31 says, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we're well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. And all those people died in the wilderness. Really, your voice is the ticket out from under the enemy's dominion. Your voice. Let's kind of say it like this. If we are a speaking spirit, then when we speak and our spirit's been born of the living God, that literally by the Holy Spirit, when we speak the word, it's the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And the enemy will bow his knee to that in a heartbeat. He has no answer. In closing, how many of you have ever read anything by F.F. Bosworth? He's an old time powerhouse in the things of God, but he says this about, it's impossible to boldly proclaim by faith a blessing that you're not sure God's offering. Well, I think I can have that. That's why you need to know what the Word of God says. How many of you know it's important to know what the Word of God says? You cannot boldly possess things as you don't understand are available to you. That's why people, you're not going to get me to confess that I'm healed when I'm sick. Well, how are you right now? Well, I'm sick. So you'd rather confess you're sick. We do have a choice. Jesus said, whoever says this mountain. And that's why the school I went to, and I'm the older I get in the Lord, the more I'm appreciative of the fact that I went to Rhema Bible Training Center. I had a great teacher by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin, who's been in heaven for about 15 years. But I remember him talking about the Lord telling him, because he really was called, I mean, he is the father of faith in our generation. He was called to teach faith. And there's more to the Bible than just the message of faith, but there's nothing in the Bible that can't be operated without faith. Because faith has to be in everything. But he said the Lord told him, and when he was reading this passage of scripture in Mark 11:23, where it says, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and shall not doubt his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And the Lord told him, he said, you're going to have to teach the saying part three times more than you teach the believing part, because people have the hardest time with the saying. And I've seen that to be true. I've had people laying in the hospital, dying, and I would just say to them, as nicely as I could, it's pretty important that you open your mouth and say what the Lord says about you. I know you're not feeling good. I know you may want to go on to heaven, but if you want to stay here, why don't you begin to declare it with your mouth? And I've had people, you know, most people do their best that they can do that. And life's not perfect for everybody, but I remember one guy just saying, I don't want to do that. I said, really? So you prefer to die? Yeah. I'm not so sure there's a God anyhow. And so I looked at him again, and I looked at him, and I was kind of taken back. I said, well, how about I pray for you? He said, no, I don't want your prayers. I said, well, great. This has really been a heartwarming moment. Because he was dying of cancer, 57 years old. And I said, you don't want me to pray for you? He said, no. Good enough. So I got over to the door in case he decided to throw something at me. I said, just for your information, when I leave this place, I am going to take your name before the throne room of God and ask God to reveal himself to you. He said, do what you want to do. I said, I will. And then the next time I went in there to see him was about 4 or 5 days later, because I had to leave out of town. I expected to be dead when I got back. So I walked in there and he said, you must have been praying for me. I said, what makes you think I've been praying for you? He said, well, because I've been thinking about God. I said, well, that's a good thing. It might be good to confess Jesus as Lord. I don't know if he ever did, honestly. I don't know. But I'm amazing how hardened people's hearts can become over a period of time just walking through something. And sometimes we get too tired to say something, but we should always be willing to declare the promises of God. Amen. All right, so stand with me. So what I'm going to have you do is just agree with me, but I just want you to take this thought home with you, because the prayer of faith does talk, speaks. Amen. But Father, today, according to your word, it says we can have what we say. And not based upon our own wants, our material wants, or our selfish wants, but simply because what we want and what we say is what you want. And Father, I know that you want every person in this church that's been hit with COVID in anywhere or any kind of sickness, but specifically right now, COVID. We are in Jesus' name. I am in Jesus' name. I am binding that stuff. I'm cursing it from the roots up, and I command it to leave and desist any maneuver against and hindering of the health and well-being of any of those people that come to our mind that are a part of this body. We thank you, Lord, that the blood of Jesus, as we confess back in March of 2020, we confess that this church is a Passover church and it has not changed. I remind you, devil, that you are a liar. And health comes to this body. Health comes to those people. Health, strong health, and not coming out with any damage to the lungs. You're not going to get away with that. There's going to be none. They're going to have perfectly healthy lungs. They're going to have perfectly healthy hearts. They're going to have perfectly healthy tissue in their inner being. God, I thank you in the name. And right now, the perfect peace of God goes into their hearts and minds. I speak and release that peace by the authority, Lord, of you. I speak peace into their hearts in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, I thank you for it and I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you said, amen. Amen. Just raise your hands a little bit and just thank God for him moving in their lives right now. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for the life of God that is flowing into every household, Father, even those that are at home fearful of it coming their way. God, thank you for the spirit of boldness that comes in. They walk in and begin to declare that they are a Passover home and the blood of Jesus covers them. And Father, I thank you that sickness and disease has no choice but to pass on over in the name of Jesus. And all that agree with that said, amen and amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God's a good God. We just keep on winning. Amen. Don't accuse me of being Donald Trump, but I like the fact that he likes to win. You know, he got pretty well pretty quick. Some of the stuff that they're giving people, they should have given them a long time ago. But it's time to catch up now. Amen. Father, I bless these people. I thank you for your goodness and mercy and your life that flows into them. I thank you, Lord, that we are a remnant that you've reserved for this time and that we are a people that will come behind and know good thing. Thank you for your healing touch in our lives and thank you, Lord, for your peace that's in the lives of every household represented here. And Father, we bless you in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, you said, amen, amen. You are dismissed. Thank you for coming. First Wednesday night, you got a good start.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.